So I'll pause on the title just for a second, and I'll go to my first slide. And if I was to ask us the question on my first slide, here we go, is what is incredibly valuable to God? What is incredibly valuable to God? Remo's offering was right on, right? I love, he said, you know, these earthly things, and he was talking about, and he throws in the middle, or I get a plane. I was like, a plane? Where did that come from? Like, I'm thinking something small, like a nicer car, you know, a new shirt and tie. And he says, a plane. I'm like, whoa, a plane. So if you were to ask yourself, right, what is incredibly valuable to God? Try this someday. Go into the park and ask people that question. What is incredibly valuable to God? And just see what they're going to answer. I love when we go out soul winning. I love asking people a question and getting them to think. Some of the videos we used to watch in 43 Round Lake Road, a guy used to call it feeding them rope, right? You would feed them rope. You'd get a question. You would get a it's like a conversation starter, and you would kind of see, get the interaction going to see where it would go. So the answer to this, very simply, right, is a soul. What is incredibly valuable to God is you are. You are incredibly valuable to God. One soul, we have that saying, right? One soul, the whole world, he would die for one soul on that cross. What an awesome thought that I am, you are incredibly valuable. I love those words, incredibly valuable. Not just valuable, but incredibly valuable to God. So our next slide, Bob, and I'm going to read the story in John 3, but I wasn't going to put the whole thing up there. But in John 3, we have the story of one soul. And we're going to look at a few portions this morning. And we're going to think about the idea of one soul. And you could come up with a few titles of the message. I had a really hard time naming this. I thought a valuable soul. And then as I got reading and studying, Pastor asked me about a month ago. So I've been kind of working on this in and out for a month or so. And then I was like, maybe one soul. You know, at the end, you can kind of determine what you want to title the message. Maybe a valuable soul is an idea. Maybe one soul. But in John chapter 3, we have this great story of Nicodemus. And I'm going to start John chapter 3, verse 1, and I'm going to read to verse 17. And I'm using the New King James. If you don't know scripture well, the book of John was written around AD 90. Some will say late 80s, some will say early 90s, but you can say approximately 90. He personally walked with God. Jesus was taught by God, and he wrote down these things. So it's like a historical account we get to read in the first person. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God." It's very interesting that he went to Jesus at night one-on-one, right? He didn't really necessarily want the other Pharisees to know what he was doing and where he was going. But Jesus met him. One soul, one person, he met him right where he was at. "You are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." Jesus answered and said to him, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus, a bit puzzled, replies. Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" It's kind of natural, far-out thinking, right? It's like the impossible. And that's really what Nicodemus is saying, is like, that's impossible. Because naturally thinking, the natural man does not perceive. He does not understand. He does not grasp the things that God has for him. The natural man doesn't understand. Nicodemus is naturally thinking, and he doesn't understand. Verse 5, Jesus answered, Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. So there's the natural thinking of Nicodemus, like, how can I be born a second time of my mother's womb? It's impossible. And Jesus starts bringing out the truth and enlightening him. Yeah, the natural man is born first of flesh and blood, but our second birth, our born again, is to be born of the Spirit of God. When a person says, when they trust Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, they have a spiritual birth. And that is what Jesus is enlightening. That is what he is opening up to Nicodemus. Jesus meets him, one soul. So if everyone who is born of the Spirit, verse 9, Nicodemus answered and said to him, how can these things be? Jesus answered and said to him, are you the teacher of Israel and do not know these things? Most assuredly, I say to you, we speak that we know and testify what we have seen, and you do not receive our witness. I have told you earthly things, and you do not believe. How will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended to heaven, but he came down from heaven. That is the Son of Man who is in heaven. Isn't it interesting? Jesus says, the Son of Man who is in heaven. And then in the beginning, Nicodemus says, you are a teacher come from God. Jesus is trying to get Nicodemus to grasp the very question Nicodemus started with. Jesus starts replying and using the question. You know, when you're out soul winning, if you start with a question, what is valuable to God? What a lead-in. Let them say, oh, my red Ferrari. And you can actually turn it and say, you know what's valuable to God? You are valuable to God. One soul is valuable to God, and he cares for you. Verse 13, no one has ascended to heaven but he who came down from heaven, that is the Son of Man who is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. And we know this verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And I love 17. Make sure when you use 16, you grab a hold of 17. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world. People feel so condemned by the things they do wrong that it can shut them down. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. I've heard it said over and over that Dr. Stephen's last radio words, he said, souls, souls, souls. And I love the idea that Jesus went out of his way time and time again for one soul, for one person. The value of you to God is eternal. He cares for you. There's two words that I like to look at, and some of you may have heard this before, but we have two words that we use in the Greek often in John 3:16 that we bring out. We use the word gave, and we use the word believe often. And it's really good to kind of get a hold of and grasp these two words. The word gave in the Greek is didomai. It's a verb, which is an action. And it's to give someone something of one's accord, to give one something to his advantage, to bestow a gift, and to commission. And Dr. Stevens used to have this beautiful saying. He would say, and this is in the doctrine booklet, Just Let God Love You, and many of his messages, if I can turn my page here. He used to say, love in action is perfected. And I love this thought, right? Love in action is perfected. God so loved the world that he gave. The word gave was the action of God's love to show us his perfect love towards us. His perfect love towards one soul was the action that he gave. And then the word believe, also a verb, also an action. The word pistuo, it means to think to be true, to be persuaded, to place confidence in. Used in the New Testament, the conviction and trust which a man is impelled by a certain inner and higher prerogative and law of the soul going on to trust in Jesus and to have saving faith. So it's interesting. We're on the streets, right? And we say to somebody, what is valuable to God? And you'll get all sorts of answers. And you can look at them and you can say, actually, you know what's really most valuable to God? You are. You are most certainly. You are incredibly valuable to God. And you watch when you say that to somebody, what their demeanor will do, how their countenance will change. Because man needs to understand that there is a God who loves us. And he cares so deeply for us that he allowed his only, he gave, love in action is perfected. He allowed his one and only son to die for us. And this is where this booklet is really amazing. Just Let God Love You. If you haven't read it, I have a few, I'll let you borrow it. But when you grab a hold of the love of God, and you walk in the love of God, it will set you free from so many other things, burdens and sins and failures, things in your past, because the love of God will overwhelm you so much so it will change who you are in Christ and set you free and allow you, the love of God will allow you to walk forward as a new creation in your new man. Love in action is perfected. Dr. Stevens, another saying going along the line of love. Love does not demand a change. Love produces one. Love does not demand a change. It produces one. When you love somebody unconditionally, not sentimentality, that's a whole nother type. We ask me later, we could have a wrap about that. That's a whole message in and of itself. True love, unconditional love of God. When you love somebody, you'll see that love, agape love, God's love towards mankind, that kind that gave Christ, it can change a person. It can change the way they think. It can change the way they act. It can set them free from their past because God's love, love in action is perfected, and love doesn't demand a change. It produces one. I love the idea that Jesus was a soul winner. Jesus, God loved us so incredibly much. He allowed Jesus to die for us. And then Jesus, here's where we can turn a little bit in our message, right? Jesus commissioned us. So, Bob, slide number 3, please. Just Let God Love You and Greater Grace Community Church. On your way in, you found probably on your seat, I had my daughter and Anna run around, and they put, we just kind of republished the new tracks, right? So we have, I took out 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I have 7 tracks that we use as Greater Grace Community Church in Malta. This is very basic, simple track, right? You can hand somebody a track. It gives them the information. Jesus loves you. It gives them the information about the church. But you know what? Start a conversation with them. The very back, I just want to read the first 2 lines. It says, God really cares for you. And the next line, Jesus loves you deeply. What a conversation to start with somebody. Another track you may have found, depending on which seat you sat in, is how do you get to heaven? My son has been bugging me for these tracks. He goes soul winning with me, and he's always like, Dad, I want the how to get you heaven ones because I love asking that question. He's 14 years old. Mark and I and Zeb were in a group. We went to Saratoga last night, and we were soul winning. Emily was with us and some of my other kids. And Zeb was like, Dad, I want more of the how do you get to heaven track. So I shoot a text to Sarah Dobbs, and Sarah Dobbs goes out and finds the How Do You Get to Heaven track that we printed in Bennington, Vermont. So, and then she just recreated it for Zeb. So if you want these, I highly encourage you, grab a handful. She made about 100 of the How Do You Get to Heaven, and we just bought 500 of the new track. I encourage you to go out there and pray for one person this year. Pray for somebody you want to hand a track to. Pray for somebody you want to talk to, and encourage you to bring somebody to church. Bring somebody to Christ, then to church. Just let God love you. And I, when I was praying and thinking about this booklet, I had this idea for like a follow-up. Wouldn't it be cool to do a second booklet based on outreach, but based on this booklet? So my thought was, just let God love you, and then just let God love others through you, right? Wouldn't it be great to have a second part, part B? God loves you. We get a hold of it. We grasp the love of God. Now, go love other people with that love that God has for you. It will change the world. It will change you, and then it will change the world. So on our seat, we found a track. I want to encourage you, take that track and pray. What would God have you to do with it? And by all means, grab a handful. Mark knows where they are. He was like, I've been looking at these new tracks on your desk for weeks, months. So I encourage you, grab tracks. I encourage you, talk to people. I encourage you, know that there is value in one soul. First, you are valuable to God. But second, let that love that God loves you overflow from you into this world. So slide 4, and I saw this picture of these words on Facebook before it was at convention. Somebody gave Pastor Shibeli this T-shirt, and he used it on Missions Night in Baltimore, Maryland. And the T-shirt said this. It said, everyone bring one, everyone disciple one, and everyone, and he went on to talk about pastors, everyone plant one. And he kind of challenges Pastor Shibeli. If you know his preaching, he is very challenging in his messages. He's kind of crazy, out there, awesome, loving, but he will bring the word of God, and he'll bring conviction about souls, 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 about missions, about church planting. And that's that. He, I believe, is the director still of Greater Grace Missions in Baltimore. He oversees the Greater Grace churches worldwide when it comes to missions and the work of missions. And this is kind of something that we could use in our lives, right? We can grab a track and we can pray, all right, God, who do you want me to speak to? Whether it be a family member, whether it be a co-employee at work, whether it be the neighbor down the block that I've been wanting. I show up and I have an apple pie in one hand and I have a How Do You Get to Heaven track in the other, and open up the conversation and say, you know what, I had this crazy thought and I just wanted to ask you, what do you think is valuable to God? And let them just reply. You got an apple pie in their hand. Something's going to come out of it. You're either going to be sharing apple pie, or you're going to be leading them to Christ, right? That's a win-win. Think about it. If everybody brought a friend, right? If everybody brought a friend, the church would double in size. And I'm not talking numbers. I mean, don't get me wrong. I don't want to say, wow, we need, instead of 85 adults, we need 170 adults. Yeah, that's great, right? That's awesome. Make us need a new building. Make Pastor Moore do a 9 o'clock service and an 11 o'clock service. I want that. I want these things. But it's not because we want numbers. You know, that's great. But what about souls? Souls, souls. What about there is lost people living down the street from us who need us to knock on their door with an apple pie and a track? What about the guy who sits 2 desks away who is carnal in his thinking, and all he needs from you on lunch break is to say, hey, have you ever thought about what's valuable to God? Have you ever thought about that? And I'm just using this as my lead in. I'm using this as my message. There's lots of things and ideas and ways. I love when I'm in Saratoga and I'm on the streets and a kid has a t-shirt and it says, you know, the New York Giants. I walk up and I'll be like, you like the New York Giants? And all instantly it starts a conversation. Just because he has a t-shirt. There are so many ways and lead-ins. I encourage you, take a Bible college class. You want to take one? There's one on evangelism. Or there's one on biblical psychology. And think, what about God? And how does God think of me? And how does God think about people? I'm doing biblical psychology in my living room right now with Sarah and Emily. Sarah is almost done with her Bible college degree. She was in Baltimore for a while, came home, and we're finishing in my living room. We're helping her to just burn through some of the classes. And how you think with God and how God works that interaction in our mind and how God loves us, and then through us, God can love other people. You are a vessel that God can use here. So, one soul. So I went through and I was talking to Pastor Moore and I was trying to think of various outreaches and ways that Malta is impacting. And the reason I did this is because I want to encourage you, find an outreach, and I would say outreach and an inreach, find an outreach and an inreach that you can be part of, right? And I want to ask, out of curiosity, how many here listen to Grace Minutes? Raise your hand if you listen to Grace Minutes. Or Grace Hour. I get Grace Hour on Facebook Live. I just live stream it. Yeah, Grace Minutes. How many here found us because of Grace Minutes? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. 9 of us. That's pretty significant. Grace Minutes has been going for a very long time. That's Pastor Moore's 15 minutes. We used to do it the 15 minutes right before Grace Hour, before the whole radio thing changed. Various missions work. Dennison just got back with the team. Teens, every Friday night. These are different outreaches and things that I'm thinking of. Every Friday night, we're in Mechanicville. Emily and I, Pastor Handel joined us last week. Usually Zeb, one or two other kids. Even if sometimes it's 15 minutes, sometimes it's a half an hour, we grab a handful of tracks. We use a little different track down there. This track is for our teen ministry in Mechanicville. On the front, it basically is an invitation for teenagers to come to our open gym Friday, 7 to 9. The back is the same gospel that Baltimore uses that we use on the back of a lot of our tracks. And the bottom of the back is just our church information. So they kind of get an invite to teens. They get the love of God, but they also have the church information. We'll go out for even 15 minutes or 25 minutes. I'll tell you a really quick, funny story. Well, maybe not so funny, but really cool story, right? So Emily, I, Zebedee, JL, Rhema, we went out this past Friday. And Emily and I have this constant conversation that it seems like when we go out a half an hour before, all right, and we did this when my wife and I did some missions work in Ecuador. When we went out a half an hour before, the people we hand the tracks to are often walking right to the gym that night. So Friday night, I was like, hey, let's do something different. Instead of walking, let's hop in the car and let's head back to the basketball courts. So we head back to the basketball courts, and there's only two boys. One's like on the merry-go-round or something, and the other one is shooting hoops all by himself. So I'm like, Zeb, why don't you do this one alone? Zeb's like, no problem. Grabs a handful of tracks, jumps out of the car. He has like no problem soul winning. Ask Mark. He's like, he'll just go. He can do his own thing. It's awesome to watch him go. So if he says, I want tracks, I'm like, sure, here, have some tracks. He just goes. He jumps out of the car. He goes over and speaks to these two young men. You know, we do the loop. We go back. We always hit McDonald's because McDonald's has air conditioning and free Wi-Fi. It's where all the teens hang out. I go right in McDonald's and soul win and hand out tracks. I've never once had a problem there. They're so nice to us. Sure enough, we get to the community center. The same two boys that Zebedee just spoke to in the park show up like 10 minutes later. It's amazing. It's really amazing. You can hand somebody a track, and you know, you're not, you don't have to give them all the doctrines and Bible theology that you have in your heart and your mind and your soul. You can simply say what is valuable to God and give them an invite and get start a conversation and let them know Jesus cares for them, that they are valuable to God, and watch the work of God go. There's crazy stories like somebody handing a drunk a track and the drunk putting it in their pocket and finding it 6 months later, going to church, getting saved, and becoming a pastor in the church. You never know what will come out of you handing somebody a track. You never know. They could put it in their pocket and find it 3 years later. There are so many stories along those lines. So I got sidetracked there, but one great story with teens. So 2 or 3 weeks ago, we had a first-time visitor, a young boy. His name was Noah. We kind of, Emily and I love volleyball, and it's interesting. We get these public school kids in, and they told us that a lot of the times they don't even do volleyball anymore. So they don't even know how to play. So it's kind of funny. This one little short kid, he uses his head in volleyball, and he does better than when he uses his hand. Pastor Handel loves it. It's like this funny little buddy, Mason, that's right. And this other young kid, Noah, not little, he's a giant. He's 14 years old, and he's probably bigger than I am. And 3 weeks, 2 or 3 weeks ago, he shows up. He's a first-time visitor. We have a halftime message every time we do sports, halftime message sports. And halftime message, I bring out that if you call on God, he's there to listen to you and he cares for you. In the end, we give the salvation call and he raises his hand. He accepts Jesus right there on a Friday night. How awesome is that? And it's because we are handing out tracts. We are out on the streets saying Jesus Christ loves you. He cares for you. The other track I carry, it's kind of odd, Greater Grace World Outreach Baltimore. I always have a stack of these on the door. Mark and I were just having this conversation because I handed him a few and we were in soul winning. Why do I carry those? So I'm in Saratoga last night and I'm speaking to this guy and he says, oh, I'm not from around here. I'm from Boston. I said, all right, take one of these tracks. Look up ggwo.org, and it started a little conversation. And I said, you know, we have a church in Boston. We have a church in Marlboro. Check it out. If you go to our home base website, they have a whole missions tab where you can find Greater Grace churches all over the world. And he took it. He was open enough at that moment where he rejected the Greater Grace Malta track, thinking I'm not from around here. But it opened up the door to hand him a separate track, which is simply Baltimore's website where he can find any church anywhere in the world. So I often, when we're out on the streets, I will carry 3, 4, or 5 different tracks. We were in the park last weekend, the Larkins, some of the Rices, Sandy was sitting at the table. And there's these boys. It was hot last Sunday. And we had a meeting, and right after the meeting, I went over. Matt was with me. And I said, let's grab a case of water. So I swing in Stewart's. I grab a case of water. We go over to the park. That case of water opened the door. There were 5 boys, young boys, playing basketball, 15, 16, 17, 18, somewhere in there. And they were sweating. And I think little Hewlett Warren got bumped over. And I said, Warren, your hurt arm opened the door for us to witness to him. Because they were like, they felt, you could see, they bumped him over. He was on the hoop, and they felt so bad. And I was like, boys, you look hot. Do you want a water bottle? And that was the open door. We sat there and preached to them for another 7, 10 minutes. It wasn't long. What do you think, Kelly? 7 minutes, maybe 10 minutes. And Sandy pulls out a whole different track. Hey, guys, you might want to check out this one. They walked out with like a whole book of literature. We're like, here's Greater Grace Malta. Here's Greater Grace Teens. Oh, hey, check out this one. Like, who knows? They could have got home that night and they could have read that track. Who knows what God is going to do in their quiet moments of life? In John 4, we have another one. Another beautiful story. First, I want to burn through my list here. So Grace Minutes, our short-term missions, our teens, we have our addiction ministry, we have nursing home ministry. Nursing homes is Monday with Ron, but Pastor also does one. You can ask him. He does it. His is like rotating different days, different places. Dennis has done sketchboard on and off. We've done special events. I'll say our movie nights, we almost have first-time visitors every movie night. It's been really cool. We just say we're doing a movie. We stick it on social media. We put it in our bulletin. You know, we might get 10 or 15 people maybe, sometimes a little more, sometimes a little less. We do pizza, and Pastor has a wrap after. Usually it's a poignant movie that has a little message within it. And there's always a first-time visitor. Oh, I found it on social media. I heard it on Grace Minutes. I hear that all the time. We had a first-time visitor last week. Young man sat right here. I said, how did you find us? His answer was Grace Minutes. He heard Pastor on the radio. Sketchboard, special events, movie nights. And again, I want to say, I encourage you. Find a place within the body, in reach and outreach. So I text Fred this morning. Fred, are you still doing prison ministry? He replies, yep. And I was like, can I talk about you? And he's like, yes. Fred is amazing. He's been in the church probably longer than I've been alive. He's shaking his head. His teens and Fatima, Nikki and Jasmine came through our youth ministry, came through our teen ministry. Jasmine's now in Baltimore in Bible College. But he's been doing prison ministry. Just think of the works that God is doing because of the people that are willing to take a step of faith. You said 1917, you've been doing it since? 1917? 1997. He replied and said, he's been doing prison ministry since 1997. You know, I came into the church in 1997. So he's been doing it as long as I've been part of Greater Grace, led here by my wife. And a few ideas. So I encourage you, memorize John 3:16 and share it. It's a very simple verse. I use it a lot with teens because, you know, in a football game, sometimes when they kick a field goal, there's always some guy down there. And when the field goal's kicked, he'll hold up a sign and all he'll say is John 3:16. I've heard it's like one of the most Googled things is people looking up John 3:16 because they're seeing it on billboards. They're seeing it in the end zone. They're hearing it. It's very popular. People will Google it and read it, memorize it, and talk to people and just use that one verse. Other ideas, right? Your personal testimony. I was thinking of giving mine, but for time's sake, I'm going to avoid it today. But you can use what God has done in your life. And you can go up and you can just tell somebody about the work of God in your life personally. And that will touch their heart, maybe so much so that you lead them to salvation right there on the spot. You don't know. Simply, if you're a little shy, and I know a lot of us are shy when it comes to evangelism, what about just handing them a tract and just saying, Jesus loves you? Whatever happens with it, happens with it. If they turn and start walking away, they turn and start walking away. But if they ask a question, bang, an open door. One soul, the value of one soul. You are so incredibly valuable to God. Just let God love you and then let God love others through you. Souls, souls, souls. Another idea was the how do you get to heaven track. My son's favorite. Read it. It's on the seats. And I use stories. When I was doing teens all the time, our teen ministry used to be crazy. We had 30, 40. We had 45 one time go to a spring rally. And I used to come up with these crazy, I'd read these chicken noodle soup for the teen soul. And I'd come up with these awesome stories. And then I'd kind of play with them and change them. I have a lot of cool stories that I could just use. If you want to hear cool stories, I have this one, a white carpet story. And this one about a father giving his kid keys for his graduation present. And these kind of stories, you can engage people with a simple story that can open the doors to their heart. Souls. So John 4, we're going to turn here for a few moments. And we're going to talk about another soul. John 4, starting in verse 5. So he, speaking of Jesus, so he came to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied from his journey, sat thus by the well. It was about the sixth hour. A woman of Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. Then the woman of Samaria said to him, "How is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." That may have been true of the Pharisee, but that was not true of our Savior. Our Savior went, if you know the story, he went out of his way to meet the woman at the well. One soul. Nicodemus in the middle of the night to go to Samaria to meet the woman at the well. One soul. And Jesus answered and said to her, "If you knew the gift of God." What's the gift of God? Jesus, speaking at that moment, Jesus is the very gift of God. "For God so loved the world," John 3:16, "that he gave his only begotten son." Jesus was speaking to her about the gift of God. Jesus was talking about himself. He was saying, if you only knew the value of your soul, the woman at the well, to me, you are incredibly valuable to me. If you only knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, "Give me a drink," you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. The woman said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw with and the well is deep. Where then do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as well as his sons and his livestock?" Isn't it great? She starts questioning Jesus, who is the gift of God, who is talking about himself, who is talking about living water. I mean, we even have this at times, right, where we're like, "God, why?" But if we only realize the love of God for us, what it would do in our lives and what it would do to flow through us to other people. And Jesus answers, and he said to her, "Whoever drinks of this water, naturally speaking, will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life." Jesus is saying, if you drink of me, the only begotten, the gift of God, you will never thirst again. Naturally, she's thinking, a sip of water, how long is that going to last? Spiritually, Jesus is saying, I'm standing right in front of you. Eternal life is right here. If you only knew, if you only understood, if you only grasped the love of God for you right here, right now, how it could change your life. Verse 15, John 4, 15. The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water that I may not thirst, nor come here to draw." And Jesus said to her, "Go call your husband and come here." He's challenging her a little bit, right? He knows what's going on in her heart and her mind. And she replies, and she's point blank honest. The woman answered and said, "I have no husband." And Jesus said to her, You have well said, I have no husband. For you have had five husbands, and the one whom you now have is not your husband, in that you spoke truly." Pastor Adam Speedy once talked about in Africa, they had this sign above their door, something like, God loves you, come just as you are. In other churches, they were scrutinizing his church for having that sign, that God loves them just as they are to come. And he was saying, the other churches were saying, you can't have that sign that they can come just as they are. You know what? Jesus met this woman at the well. And he spoke to her. He knew she had had five husbands and she was living with a man that wasn't even her husband. And he went out of her way to speak to her at that well. One soul. How valuable one soul is worth to God. One soul. Jesus said to her, you have well said, I have no husband, for you have had five husbands. And the one whom you now have is not your husband. In that you spoke truly. The woman said to him, sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, and you Jews say that in Jerusalem is the place where one ought to worship. Jesus said to her, woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know, for we know, what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. The Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. The woman said to him, I know that the Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things. Verse 26, Jesus said to her, I who speak to you am he. I am. Point blank. How much more bold could he have said it? The one speaking to you right here, right now, I am he. And at this point, his disciples came and they marveled that he talked with a woman. Yet no one said, what do you seek or why are you talking with her? The woman then left her water pot, went her way into the city and said to the men, come see a man who told me all things that I ever did. Could this be the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came to him. In the meantime, his disciples urged him saying, Rabbi, eat. But he said to them, I have food to eat, which you do not know of. Therefore, the disciples said to one another, has anyone brought him anything to eat? Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Do not say, there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest. Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest. And he who reaps receives wages and gathers fruit for eternal life, that both he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. For in this saying is true, one sows and another reaps. Verse 38, I sent you to reap. I sent you to reap. That for which you have not labored, others have labored, and you have entered into their laborers. Jesus, speaking to us, says, I send you out there. Greater Grace Malta, when you leave these doors, have a track in your hand. I seek you. I send you out there to reap. The harvest is white and it is ready. I've been in Saratoga speaking to teens who are going to, I'll just say, an unnamed Catholic school. And there will be 3 or 4 teenagers, and they're in the circle, and we go up to them, and we engage them in conversation and start speaking. And I will, sometimes the most basic thing, I will give them the most basic gospel. Jesus Christ loves you. The good news is he came and he died on a cross for you, and he cares for you, and you are valuable to him. Have you ever asked Jesus in your life? And sometimes I'll say, have you ever heard this? And these are young men going to a Catholic school, whatever that may mean. And they'll say they've never heard the gospel. My daughter, Rayma, on the car ride here this morning, we're talking about various things and soul winning last night, and we're having a little conversation. And she said, "Dad, do you think there are kids in America who don't know about Jesus? Don't know the name Jesus?" How cute, how innocent, right? I know there are kids, teenage boys going to a Catholic school who can tell me to my face that they've never heard the gospel. I know there are families living down the street from me, living down the street from us, who the parents didn't go to church and they're not bringing their kids to church. Where is that going to lead? Where is that going to bring them? What is going to be the end of that? The value of one soul handing somebody a track and saying, "Jesus loves you." And I'm not saying push Greater Grace Malta by all means. That's not what it's about. You need to just love people with the love of God. Let love in action produce purity, produce a result in people's life. And yeah, by all means, disciple them, right? Pastor Shibeli's saying there, let me go back to it. Everyone bring one, everyone disciple one. It's great to lead somebody to Christ, by all means, I love that. But disciple them. Tell them, what does that mean? Take it to the next step, the next level. Slide number 5, and here's our little challenge, right? I like to always challenge my own spirit with the word. It's like a personal favorite I do in my own studies. Like, God, challenge me. And he does. He'll bring challenge and conviction right in. Here's my personal challenge, right? Don't get entangled with the details of this world. Don't get entangled with the details of this earthly life. Don't get so entangled with stuff that you skip church on a Wednesday, you skip church on a Sunday, you skip youth group, you skip outreach, you skip whatever it may be, outreaches, inreaches, whatever God has on your heart to do. Be careful that this world doesn't suck you away from the things of God, because people can do that. They can get so entangled with the world that they forget about what God has for them personally and how God can use them. So this is like my challenge. This challenges me, right? Mark 8:36. Pastor James Deditis brought this out at convention this year. I've thought about so many times putting this in the back window of my car. Someday I think you're going to see that. I'm going to get this printed in the back window of one of my cars. My truck right now is so junky, it'd be a bad witness, but maybe my car. Mark 8:36. What will it profit a man if he gains the whole world, but he loses his own soul? How challenging is that verse just in and of itself, right? Just be careful we don't get so entangled with the things of this world. We can gain the world, but we can lose our own soul. And you can't lose your salvation. Context, point blank, right? Really quick, right? If you're saved, you're a child of God, you are sealed with the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 1 and 2, read them, go home. It's amazing, it's beautiful. God loves you, you're in his hand. John, no man, the actual word, can pluck you out of the hand of God. You can't lose your salvation. But those that are in this world that are going down the wrong path, or the world can sometimes sidetrack us in context, this can speak to us. I can lose my own soul, not spiritually salvation, but I can just backslide and walk away from God. Or the person who is totally lost, who doesn't have Jesus, who all they think about, in Remo's words, is buying a plane, right? They're so encapsulated by the things of the world that they don't take care of their own soul's needs. So I'm running out of time and I have lots of notes. In 1971, Dr. Stevens preached this message called Last Looks, Last Words, and Last Thoughts. And in this message, if you want to hear it, let me know. I can send you a link. Greater Grace World Outreach, go to the search bar, type in Dr. Stevens, Last Looks, Last Words, Last Thoughts, and all of his messages pop right up. I go on, I just go on, and I listen to a lot of stuff through Baltimore's website. So I listened to this maybe 5 or 8 times over the past month. And he tells this crazy story where he says he has this heart vision, right? Go on and listen to it because I'm out of time and I'm going to abbreviate very quickly. And he talks about this stadium and he's referring to the Great White Throne Judgment. And he talks about there, it's almost like Christians are watching the unsaved being sent to hell. And he speaks of even a person whose son is being sent. And the son says to the father, it's because you never told me and the life you lived at home wasn't there. And another one is a pastor who is being sent to hell and people in his congregation. And he's seeing it and he's watching it. And it's like heart-wrenching to listen to and to think of, but it stirs you up. It's short too. It's like 31 or 33 minutes. It's a really short message. But he speaks of these things, of that time, and the value of one soul and what it's going to be like at that time. Jeremiah 23, 28, 29 says, the word is like fire. You can speak the word of God into people's life, and the word will burn in their heart like a fire. Hebrews 4, 12, right? For the word of God is sharp and powerful, quick, powerful, dividing asunder, soul, spirit, the natural man, the spiritual man. You can speak the word of God into people's lives and it will change them. 2 Timothy 4, 2, preach the word. 1 Timothy 4, 12, my son Zebedee, despise not your youth. Here's a tract, go hand it out. John 8, the truth will set you free. These are words that we need to grab a hold of and to run forward with. Bob, slide 6 is my 3 crosses, right? And some people will say, going back to our how do you get to heaven track. It's a great question. How do you get to heaven? Very simple, poignant. How do you get to heaven? Some people will list all of these things that they need to do in order to get to heaven. You know what? One verse, one argument, point made. Luke chapter 23, 43. And Jesus said to him, assuredly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. Here it is. There's 2 criminals on the cross. And they're all having a little argument there at the moment. If you want to read it, look it up for yourself. Luke 23. And the one criminal starts asking Jesus. And Jesus' answer point blank to him. And I want to ask you, what did that man do to earn salvation? Was he baptized? No, he wasn't baptized. Was he a good moral person? No, that's why he's on the cross. Right? Point blank. Today, you will be with me in paradise. Even while Jesus was dying on the cross, he was a soul winner. One soul. The value of one soul. Speaking to Nicodemus, Bob, the last slide, please and thank you. One soul, Nicodemus. One soul, the woman at the well. One soul, the criminal on the cross on Jesus' side. One soul, the value of one soul to God. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God did not come to the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Jesus, his gift, might be saved. I want to encourage you, be a soul winner. Be the one who has a track in your purse, in your pocket, in your car. I go through the drive-thru and I have them on my door and I hand them to the people in the drive-thru all the time. Simple. Who knows where it will lead? And I mean, you don't have time for conversation. It's 3 seconds. Sometimes I tell a funny joke or whatever. My kids, if you ask Chris jokes, she'll get some really corny ones. So if you go through the drive-thru, who knows what it can be? The value of one soul. Let's pray. Father, thank you that we are valuable to you. Thank you that you love us. And Father, I ask that your love overwhelms us and overflows through us to this world. And a challenge for each one of us, have a track and pray, who do you want to talk to? Who do you want to lead to Christ next? Or who do you want to be brought back from backsliding? Who do you want to sit in the seat on the side of you? Pray. Ask God. One soul. Our eyes closed, our heads bowed. Jesus Christ loves you. You are incredibly valuable to him. If you are here and you've never asked Christ into your life before and you want Jesus as your personal Savior, just ask him. A simple prayer of faith. Jesus, I trust in you. Be the Lord of my life. Be my Savior. Jesus, I want to trust in you. I want to be your child. Come into my life and live. If you're hearing this on radio, if you're hearing this on website or wherever it may be, if you're hearing this and you're sitting here this morning and you've asked Jesus, I ask, we'll want to reach out to you. Reach out to us so we can reach back, so we can give you a Bible, so we can give you more of the gospel, so we can give you the good news. Father, bless this message. Strengthen us, encourage us, convict us. Father, let us be soul winners. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Announcements.